Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
You know, one of the biggest questions I used to ask when I was young in my job, young in my career, young in the military, young in everything, was why? I want to know why. Why do we do it this way? Why do we do that? Why do we perform these tasks? It seemed to me like a lot of the things I was told to do, I kind of felt like the Karate Kid early in the movie. Wax on, wax off, hang up your jacket, paint the fence, wax the car. It made no sense to me at all, but I was told to do these things by somebody who apparently had the authority to tell me to do it, and it just made me crazy. I wonder if you've ever thought about how do we come to the conclusion of what the do looks like, the action looks like, the activity that we're assigned to do. Well, that's what I want to talk about in this episode of Leading Leaders. Stay tuned. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. The question that was posed for today's leadership lesson, leadership development lesson, was how does strategy become action? How does strategy become action? And I really had to stop and think about that for a moment and think, you know, there's really a kind of a chain of custody of these ideas that move from vision all the way down to the actual daily activity. And in that chain of custody, you have the vision, the mission, the strategies, the objectives, the goals, the tasks, the assignments, and the list goes on and on and on. And I've actually broken it down to a full list. If you look at the description online, you'll see that. But see, there's another part to understanding why those elements, A, have to be in that chain of custody, and then B, sometimes seem so detached from the original notion, from the original, here's what our vision statement looks like, to here's what I need you to do today. It seems like there's a massive disconnect. Well, that's because there's really two tracks of making sure that all of those things happen. On the one side, you have management. The job of management is systems, managing the processes, managing the policies. We know what the standard operating procedures are because we have good management. Management looks at everything that happens as a function in the background and says, we gotta have the right tools. We need to upgrade from a regular Excel spreadsheet to an actual management database, something that's gonna keep up with our customer journey and follow them from the time we first meet them all the way through. Maybe at salesforce.com, maybe it's something more elaborate than that, where a salesperson can log in on their dashboard and see customer Joe. We first started talking to them in January, and here we are in October, and nobody has followed up with them. There's been no contact. There's been no email. There's been no phone call. And if there has been, nobody's kept record of it. See, management looks at that system, at that process, and then asks the question, are we keeping up with the process? Does the tool that we use keep up with the data that we need to be gathering? Does it ask the right questions? Are we getting the information that we need from our customers to serve them well? Are we asking the right questions of our customers? Are we asking our vendors, can we get a better deal? Is there a better supplier of that product with a higher quality and a better profit margin? All of these things happen in the management class. They're happening in the mind of a manager who's looking at the systems, the data, the process, and they're constantly asking, do we have the tools necessary to accomplish the vision that was established? Now, when you look at the vision versus the daily actions, the gap is that we have, generally speaking, the vision and the mission statement, those two things most specifically. Those decisions are usually made in the boardroom. Those are made by C-level executives. Those are made in the C-suites or sometimes on the golf course, away from the business altogether, but they're ideas that came into the mind of the founder, of the original artist, if you will. What did they think of this notion? Who did they plan to help in the first place? And so this chain of custody that goes from vision all the way down to daily activity, it's really the defining path of why and how we do what we do as a team, as an organization, as a nation, as a military. From vision to mission to strategy to tactics, all the way down the list, those things have to be defined. Now, understand, that vision statement may be this big. And the people who make that vision statement and then put the mission behind it, this is what we want to see done. This is what the world will look like when we've accomplished everything we've set out to do. And then the mission statement, this is why we will do it this way. This is what's so important to us. This is the motivating factor behind that vision. This is what caused us, moved us to see that vision in the first place. I got a text from a friend just yesterday, long text, heartbreaking, talking about an audience that he was in front of. Now, this guy and I have been doing business and ministry together almost 30 years. And he said, I'm standing in front of an audience, a young audience, minors, all of them, who have eyewitnessed the destruction of their family, many of them literally at the hands of a machete. Ugh, that just gives you chills. He said, I'm not even sure what to say to them. Now, he's there because his vision is to help change the condition of their life. His mission is to make their life better. But this is the first time he's been face to face with the hardcore element of the victim. I mean, these are not just the random generic, these are the people we want to help. These are the ones who have had the worst of the worst of the worst laid in their lap and told them, this is your life. And he was in tears. I could hear it in his voice. He recorded the message that he gave him. And I said afterward, I said, that was an incredibly encouraging, hope-filled message that you delivered to them. Vision, mission. When you're motivated, when you're compelled by this problem that you are determined to solve, that's where these things start. And the ideas of the founder and the mind and the heart of the C-level suite, of the commanders, of the lead politicians, our Congress and our Senate and the White House, they make these big decisions based on the visions that we need to accomplish. And now that that's been put together, they hand it down to the next level. So in corporate America, that might be the executive directors. It might be the VP suite. It might be the list of all those directors and group managers who have hundreds of people beneath them. And now their job is to take that vision and that mission and give it a strategy. Okay, how will we go about doing this? And that strategy is a long-range plan. It says, you know, in order to accomplish this vision, it's going to take 10 years, 12 years, 15, 20 years. It's going to take a decade. It's going to require millions of dollars. The job of the strategist is to actually figure out how we will accomplish what we were told to accomplish. How will we fulfill this mission and live out this vision? It's in this group of people. They might be the field generals in the military. They're the on-scene commanders in the fire department. They're the state and regional directors of a large corporate organization. They have to decide, what is the strategy? 2-year strategy, 5-year strategy, 20-year strategy to actually pull this off. And then they kind of take that down to the next level. Okay, what are the tactics? How will we actually functionally do this? How many people is it going to take to do this portion? And how many people to do this portion? And while you're looking at that, let's talk about the cost of goods sold. Let's talk about the products we're going to have to buy. Let's talk about the relationships we're going to have to build, the manufacturing plants, the sales offices. All of these things, they're going to come under that tactics. And now we start moving into budget and we start moving into the actual practical get it done kind of stuff. We have to establish some goals. Again, all this is happening in that higher management director level. They're putting together these strategies and these tactics and the objectives, the overall objectives that we have to be able to accomplish. Now, in the next level, that's where you, in the military, it might be your E4 to E6 or E7 rank. It might be the junior officers. You know, in that strategies and tactics and objectives, that's where you're maybe captains and above in the military ranks. Maybe your VPs, your group managers and above in a corporate office. If you're a one-man show, if you're a small business, all of this is on you. Trust me, that's me. My business, for the most part, is my wife and myself. And when I sit down with a client and they say, help me write the speech that sells, in my mind, I have to go through this whole process with them. What is the vision? What is your mission? How do you plan to accomplish that? Do you have products and services you're going to offer? Do you plan to do coaching with them? Are you going to pass them off to a facility or a home? Are you going to sell them a product? If you want to make a presentation that's going to make an impact, we've got to know all of that before the first words come out of our mouth, or otherwise what we're saying is disconnected from the solution that you offer. Now, there are a lot of people that deliver a very entertaining keynote speech. 3 minutes, 10 minutes, 50 minutes. It's rah, rah, rah. It's motivational. That's awesome. Good. That's fine. But if you want to be able to build a business that makes an impact in people's lives, when you speak, it should be clear to them what your mission is, what your vision is, what your strategy is, what your tactics are. And you don't have to go through the list and go, this is my mission statement. This is my vision statement. But your opening story should tell them why you do what you do. Why is it so important to you? Why do you care? Again, this is the vision that starts with the founder and begins to make its way through. By the time we get down to that E4 and below level in the military, that daily store manager, shift supervisor, person that shows up for 18 hours a week kind of person, now we're down past objectives. We moved into daily goals. We moved into assignments and tasks and the action that must be taken. Now, here's where the real challenge is. When you're a young person, young in the business, young in the industry, young in this field, young in life altogether, it's real easy to walk in the door, punch the time clock, or show up to work, show up at an event and say, I'm here to do my work. And have somebody who's sat, so to speak, with the whole vision, and they look at you and they go, I just need you to do this. And they give you this one task, and you think, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. All I need you to do today is take that stack of envelopes and put those three postcards in the envelopes. That's it. For the next 8 hours, the whole time you're here, put postcards in envelopes, period. That's it. Well, it's such a waste of my time. I could be doing things so much better. I could be earning so much more money. You could. But see, in order for us to bring these kids whose parents have been hatcheted to death to a new life, one of the things that absolutely must happen is we need to let people know their condition. And one of the ways that we do that is media, and one is social media, and one is conversations, and one is speaking from the platform, and one is one-on-one conversations with those who have the wealth to do something about it. But one of the ways that we do that is we put those postcards in those envelopes, and we send them to people who don't know about the plight at all. And so your role in bringing that child from that place in life to another place in life, your role, your assignment today, your task today, the action I need you to take is to take those postcards and put them in that envelope. And it's real easy when we're the junior person on the team to get caught in that, to get lost in that, to look at it and go, this daily activity, this daily action that you have me doing, it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. I can understand that that may be true. I can also understand why it wouldn't make any sense to you. I can also understand how frustrating it is when you feel like the task that you're doing is futile exercise. I show up every day. They pay me to put postcards in envelopes. I don't get it. I thought our organization did X. Well, it does. It rebuilds pools and neighborhoods. It does plumbing. It does heating. It does AC. It does government policies, it fights against policies it disagrees with, whatever it is that your organization does from the vision and mission level, there are going to be daily oriented tasks that if you don't see the big picture, make no sense at all. Now, if you go back to yesterday's message, what we talked about was how do you build commitment in the team? And I'm going to tell you right here, this understanding of this, for lack of a better term, hierarchy, this foundational structure of the flow of information and the necessity of understanding it at different levels. Sometimes leaders hold that information so closely to their chest that nobody else gets to participate in it. Nobody else gets to understand what's going on. If you're not in the executive suite in those regular meetings, you don't get the updates. You don't get to know. If you're not in the high-level management level, you never see what the results are until you get your annual review. And then here's what you get. Here are the 42 tasks that I gave you to do this year. Here are the 20 you accomplished well and the 20 you failed at and the other two that you never even approached. So based on that, you got a 50-50 review and it might be on probation. Or here's the 100 tasks that we gave you for the year. 80 of them you did awesome and 20 of them you did horribly, but you scored 80% so you get to keep your job. Or here's the 150 tasks that I gave you. You accomplished all 150. You get a raise. Woohoo! And even then, a good manager might compare that productivity against the system. Did you enter all the dates? I remember taking a job one time. I was on the call center selling, I won't even mention it. But my job was to transition people from one product service set to another. And the expectation of the call manager was that I would dial the phone 150 times a day. Well, and I saw a lot of people dialing the phone 150 times a day. And most of them were having no conversations. And when they had conversations, they sounded like, oh, you don't want, oh, because they were being hung up on. And I would take my time and I would research the candidate that I was about to call, the person that I was going to talk to, the offer that I was going to make them. I would spend a little more time getting to know who it was that I was going to talk to. And in the end, I was only making about 30 phone calls a day. Well, about a month into this process, the manager comes to me and writes me up and says, you're not making 150 calls a day. For those that are successful, we found if they make 150 calls a day, they have 10 conversations. And of 10 conversations, they have one close. If you have one close a day, you have five a week. If you have five a week, you have 20 a month. At the end of the month, you'll be on goal. But the only way to get that is to have 150 phone calls a day. I said, what if you had 20 productive phone calls in a day and five of those became clients? Wouldn't that count the same number? I messed up his management system. See, he was in a mindset that it flows down from the top. This is the vision. This is the mission. This is the strategy. This is the tactic. These are objectives. These are the goals. Your goal, system says, 150 calls a day. I'm looking at the data. I look at your number. I look at 150 calls a day. You missed it. You failed. Okay, so but what if we got to the bottom and the number of new clients was higher in my column than it was in anybody else's? Is that a failure of the system? Or is that a failure of the goals? Or is that a failure of the tasks? Is that a failure of the process? See, for a lot of people, especially young in the process, when they don't understand how that flow of information works, what happens is they get stuck in these tasks and they look at it and go, this is futile. I'm wasting my time. These rules are dumb. I don't get it. I don't know why I do what I do. In that moment, the demand of a good leader, not a manager of systems and processes, but a leader of people and motivations, intrinsic and extrinsic, the motivation of that leader should be, let me help you see how what you do contributes to the big picture. Maybe it's a town hall meeting. Maybe it's in a small group where a bunch of people at the same level get a couple of hours to sit down with the highest level people and go, let me explain to you what the vision and the mission of our organization is, not just the statement on the wall. Let me tell you why my heart can't do anything else, why I live to make this happen. And when you can transfer that inner motivation, that inner inspiration, that intrinsic desire and passion to see this mission accomplished, when you can transfer that to the people who have to stuff postcards and envelopes, you will see a drastic change in morale. You'll see a drastic change in productivity. You'll see a drastic change in the way things are done. There'll be a whole lot more power in the action that they do because they will realize that this envelope with one postcard helps this. This envelope with three postcards can change the world. And if I get lazy and I skip a postcard, or I get to the bottom of postcard number two, I get to the bottom of the stack and I feel like, well, I'm just sticking postcards and envelopes anyway. It's an irrelevant job. It's a futile exercise. It means absolutely nothing at the end of the day. I'll just stuff two and the rest of the envelopes that I have. And when I run out of the other postcard, I'll just stuff one. And so we'll have envelopes that have three postcards and some have two postcards and some have one postcard because I don't care. I'm just stuffing envelopes with postcards in the first place. Why does it matter? When a leader takes the time to understand what it is that a person is committed to. Are they committed to their career? Are they committed to their opportunities? Are they committed to their future? Do they have something burning inside of them to accomplish the mission that you've already established? Have they joined because they feel like being here is being part of a cause that's greater than themselves and they're contributing to it? See, if you're not asking those questions, if you're not having those conversations, if you're not motivating people to do the tasks that must be done, they don't care what your strategy is. They don't care what your tactics are. They don't care what the objectives and the goals are. All of those are irrelevant to them. They're looking at the problem they have, and that is, I have to pay my light bill. I have to pay my car bill. I have to pay for car insurance. I got to figure out how to pay Uber Eats when they show up with my food from Sonic. When that's what's going on in their mind and they've lost sight of the big picture, they've lost the vision, they've lost the mission, the strategies and the goals don't make any sense to them. They've never been explained anyway. They punch in, they do the task that's in front of them, or they don't. They're involved and engaged in the task in front of them emotionally, or they're not. They do what they have to do to keep their job and get their check, or they don't. When they have a better picture of what their part looks like in the grand scheme of things, when they understand that ultimately every postcard I stuff in an envelope looks like one more child walking away free, that begins to change things. That makes all the difference in the world for them. It brings those daily actions that are going to show up on their employee review, those daily activities that seem like an exercise in futility, it brings them back to the essential function that they are. When you can look at the task of stuffing envelopes with postcards and ask yourself honestly, is this an essential function or an exercise in futility? When your daily work seems like an exercise in futility, what's the motivation to do it besides getting a paycheck and paying the bills? When you see it as an essential function in the grand scheme of things, because somebody has bothered to explain the grand scheme of things to you, they've connected you to the vision, to the mission, the strategies, the tactics, the objectives, the goals, the daily assignments, those things are being managed from the top down. They're being flowed. They're flowing from the top down so that everybody in the organization, whether there's 2 or 200,000, everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a role to play. Somebody else may have a more ridiculous task than you. If you've been part of a nonprofit, you've probably seen those people whose sole job it is to sweep the floor in the warehouse, to mop the floor in the warehouse, to clean the bathrooms in the warehouse. Why? Well, because if the executives who are responsible for making sure that we have the funding, we have the connections, we have the relationships, we're talking to people, we know what's going on the ground, we know that what we're doing here is actually making an impact there, the executive responsible for doing that, if they have to take time to clean the toilet and change the toilet paper roll, their effectiveness is being wasted. Not that they can't do that, or they shouldn't from time to time take the time to do that, that they shouldn't care about it getting done. But when that's what they spend their time doing, those people who maybe feel called, maybe just say, I'm willing, it's no skin off my nose, I'm glad to clean the restrooms, change the paper, sweep and mop the floors. But doing those functions allows the executive, who may be one of 10 people in the world who could actually pull off that vision, pull off that mission. I work in a lot of events, and from every angle. I've been the photographer, I've been the camera guy, I've been the mic runner, I've been the guy taping the cables to the floor, I've been the guy on the platform with a microphone in my hand, the guy on the television in front of the camera, like I am now, the guy pushing the buttons, because I do all of that in the studio myself. And I understand what all those tasks are. And sometimes, even from my point of view, I hate crawling around on the floor taping cables. I'm getting old and stiff. But if there's nobody else to do it, I'll do it. And while I'm doing it, something inside of me is saying, who's going to write the speech? Who's going to deliver this? Who's going to motivate the people who are sitting in the crowd? The guy taping the floor or the guy with the mic in his hand? And when it's my responsibility to be the one on the stage, the first thing I'm going to try to do is delegate somebody else to tape the cable. And inevitably, whoever that is going to look at me and go, why do I have to tape the cable? Is there nobody else capable of taping cables? No, but today I need you to do it because I have a role to do that you can't do. Perhaps tomorrow you'll do that role and I'll tape the cable. Trust me, I serve alongside some leaders where that's exactly the case. Sometimes I'm on the stage and they're taping cables, and sometimes that role is reversed. And if you don't have the humility and the wisdom to know, today my task is this, to serve that vision. And today my task is at this level to serve a different vision. If you're not willing to do that as a leader, then you're not going to have the motivation of the people that serve you. Take the time as a leader, as a manager, to clearly explain for those people who are doing everyday, mundane, futile tasks, how that exercise in futility is actually an essential function to accomplishing the vision and the mission that was established in the first place. If you'll do that, you'll see productivity in that chain of custody from strategy to action. I'm Jay Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you. Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.